Another day, another loss. Big losses this time. The Dow Jones Industrial Average below 30,000 for the first time since 2020. Nowhere to hide. Thank you so much, Joe and Jerome. I'll tell you this, bad policy leads to bad outcomes. I told you 2 years ago, we were risking mass inflation. I've been pounding the table for months, telling you that the market was increasingly looking massively overvalued because the Fed was going to have no choice but to raise rates. And yes, here we are today. So what do you do now? How do you protect yourself? How do you protect your principal? How do you, if you're a long-term investor, think about going in right now? I've got some insight on all of that. Plus, I'll tell you this, and perhaps this is the good news in all of it. We're in a recession, I believe, right now. I mean, you look at all the data. It really does indicate that we are in a recession. It's a mild one, but I think we are in one right now. So I'm issuing that warning and treating it a little bit like, hopefully, like we're able to manage this one okay, and it doesn't sink us further and further into a deeper recession. But hopefully, by the time they tell us we're in recession, by those economists' classic definition, I love how they do that. They're just always so wrong on everything. It's unbelievable. Anyway, by the time they tell us we're in a recession, we'll probably be out. So think about that. And then I want to talk about Elon Musk because he's shaken employees up in a huge way. He had a meeting with all of them. And let's just say they are not big fans of Elon Musk, but I think he could do some really incredible things for the company and for that entire space. Welcome to the program. If you haven't, do me this favor, make sure that you subscribe on YouTube. Hit the little bell down there. That way you know every day when we have a show, just hit that bell. I'm here actually with you 5 days a week. So hit the bell, subscribe to the channel, hit a thumbs up, share the video if you can. And you can also, of course, follow me on Rumble, another great video source. On Facebook, Instagram, all of the social media platforms, I'm there. And most especially, actually, if you really want to interact with me, if you actually want to see some of what I'm saying on these markets on a regular basis, go over to Locals, my Locals platform. It's trishregan.locals.com, and you can actually correspond directly with me there and help support the show. So all of those things to keep in mind. Portions of today's program, meanwhile, are brought to you by my friends over at Legacy Precious Metals. There has never been a better time. Let me just tell you, I'm really happy I have gold in my portfolio right now, but there's never been a better time. If you haven't bought gold, look at buying that right now, because I do anticipate gold prices over the long run will continue running higher given the inflation that we have, certainly right now, but always in our economy. Also, it's great because gold is that safe haven. We'll talk a little bit more about gold in just a moment, as well as Elon Musk. But first, the news of the day, the market's just getting crushed again. I mean, this downside just keeps on coming, but yet it's logical, right? It's totally, utterly logical. You know, one of my favorite indicators is the VIX. And I always say, you know, look, when it's around 33, 34, especially 34 and above, that's when you kind of want to look at maybe tiptoeing in. Because when it's above 34, typically, if you go back over the last, oh, I don't know how many years, back to the 1990s when they created this index, what you see is after roughly 12 months, the market tends to be in better territory. But still, with all the concern that we have out there, wouldn't you think that maybe the VIX would be way higher, like maybe 50? You know, I think about the record that we set probably back in March 2020. There was also a time there where it was really, really high in 2008. But in March 2020, you were up around, I don't know, 66 or so on that VIX. So 33, where we were today and kind of have been this week hanging out at, 33 shows you there's fear. There's certainly fear, but it's not capitulation style fear. Not yet. I actually still think there's a rhyme and a reason to all this. Because investors are naturally reacting to the new reality of a Federal Reserve pulling back, right, on that spigot. A Federal Reserve that is reining in all those dollars that were floating out there in the marketplace, thereby causing all this inflation. They're reining it in at a time when actually we I believe, are actually in recession. Now, that's a big call. I've been telling you over the last couple of weeks, I think there's a good chance we might be in it. But looking at yesterday's retail sales numbers, looking at some of the earnings from these big retailers, what it's telling you is you're already witnessing a pullback in spending, a pullback that's totally natural. I mean, heck, gas prices are $5 and still climbing. How are people spending extra money on extra things with gas prices as high as they are and food prices as high as they are? You know, it cracks me up. The Federal Reserve loves to say, well, we're looking at core CPI, you know, CPI, the consumer price index, and core CPI get separated because the Fed thinks that somehow it's productive to look at inflation minus food and energy. And I'm sorry, but listen, food and energy, right? Those are the things that people consume as well as shelter. I mean, these are the things that matter. So as an economist, you want to be looking very, very carefully at that. And you want to be taking into consideration when you're looking at overall inflation because it affects everything else. Well, right now, food and energy prices are so high that now people don't have as much money to spend on everything else. And that's what's causing this economic pullback. And when you have that economic pullback, naturally, companies don't make as much money, and therefore stock valuations start to get pulled back as well. So what we need to watch for here is sort of when it's close to the bottom. And look, it's impossible to call, right? I mean, that's just a reality. But one of the indicators you can look to is the VIX to measure the fear that's in the market. And when you see it really, really high, that does typically suggest you're nearing a bottom. Nearing. I mean, hey, you could hang out at the bottom for a real long time. You know, we did in 2008. We hung out for a while in pretty low territory. So you got to be cautious, but just be aware of the VIX. Continue watching it because that may suggest to you when there's an opportunity to get back in if you want to be in the stock market. The other thing that's going on right now, and we haven't seen this in, gosh, I mean, I don't know, like forever, right? You're going to go back to the 1970s to see decent interest rates. And we still don't have decent interest rates in terms of what you could get as an investor by putting your money, say, in a CD or in a bank. But we do now see 3.4% on the U.S. Treasury for 10 years. Interesting, right? Interesting. I mean, we didn't really have the option as investors of even putting money in treasuries because it was paying nothing. I mean, 1%? No, thank you. So at 3.4, it starts to get a little more interesting. Also, because of this inverted yield curve that keeps on flashing, you can start looking at two-year instruments, for example, of U.S. Treasuries. I'd also encourage you to look at the I-bond. You know, the I-bond's a great thing. Great, great thing, because right now it's paying 9.52%. How do you like that? 9.52%. You can put up to $10,000 per family member per year into an I-bond. And if you're trying to save for education, it's great. It's great because you can take that money out if it goes to higher educational purposes and use that tax-free. So you don't have to pay any tax on that 9.52%. So take a look at that as well. Again, I think that in a time like this, there's going to be some other interesting opportunities that come about for people that, like me, don't need to make 100% a year or even 40% a year, right? If you can grow your money in a steady way, that's something to be excited about. And so there's going to be these opportunities within fixed income. Munis are another one. I told you all about that in season 3, episode 103. Look at municipal bonds right now, especially if you're in a certain tax bracket, because they'll be tax-free. You don't have to pay any federal taxes. You don't have to pay any state taxes. You don't have to pay any local taxes if you buy them in your state. And municipal bonds typically tend to be very high rated in terms of their credit risk. So you're not taking on a ton of risk, but you get the benefit of getting all that money back, right, that you put in your principal plus the interest. And then the last thing I would just say is take a look at dividend stocks, really. Dividend stocks in this environment could be really, really worthwhile. Again, looking for that yield. You want yield that's higher than what the Treasury Department's offering, right? So look for yield that's going to be higher than 3.4, 3.5%. You also want to make sure that there's some transparency in terms of earnings. It's hard right now. I get it, right? Because we don't know where the economy is going. But try and get some transparency in terms of what the earnings trajectory is, because you don't want them cutting that dividend. You're hoping that the earnings are decent. Therefore, you get the appreciation in the stock price, and you're hoping that you get that dividend that's going to remain strong. And then, of course, you want to make sure you're getting it at a decent enough price. You know, some of these companies that issue dividends, they've just shot up. Exxon, great example of a stock that's really, really climbed over the course of the last year. Of course, they're making a fair amount of money. Joe Biden has a problem with that. But anyway, Exxon is doing fairly well, and they've got a strong dividend, but it's more expensive. And I'd be looking for dividend stocks that are trading at multiples that are less than the overall market, right? So if the market's trading right now roughly around 17 times earnings, you want to try and be shy of that. Therefore, you know you're getting a decent buy in terms of the valuation of the stock. And then the last thing is just, you know, hey, if you've got time on your side and you are willing to take on more risk, this is the time to sharpen your pencil, because I don't think you have to get in necessarily today, but certainly in the coming days, in the coming weeks, there will be more opportunities for growth-oriented stocks, right? The kinds of stocks that can be far more volatile. But if you have the time and you can invest over the long haul, there might be some pretty good opportunities. And before I move on to Elon, because I do want to talk about Elon, I just want to give a shout out again for things like commodities, including gold. In fact, as I look at the market over the last couple of days, I'm like, I'm really glad I got gold in my portfolio, right? But on a personal level, I'm happy I have it. It's not something I'd ever sell. To me, my gold is just there. It's part of the overall portfolio. And on days like today, it's what kind of helps hold you up. When everything's getting crushed, gold often, now not always, but typically is one of those safe havens that people seek out. And so that'll help your portfolio to balance out some of those losses. The other thing that gold is great for, as you know, and as I always tell you, is inflation, right? Because even if we don't have 8.3% for the foreseeable future, and look, I do think it's going to be in rather high territory. It's going to take a long time to actually get it back down into the 2% range that the Fed would prefer. But even if you just get 2%, it's 2%, right? Everything is going up every single year. So if you take your money and you stuff it under the mattress, or if you were putting it in treasuries that were yielding a percent as they were not too long ago, then it makes it really hard to actually keep up in the future. And if you want to retire, you think you need this much money, but it turns out you need that much money. And so this is why I say, look at gold. Call my friends over at Legacy Precious Metals. A lot of you, by the way, have been making comments down below, and feel free to comment on how you've invested in silver and you're really, really excited about that trade. Silver is another really, really interesting play, but you know, I'm a bit of a gold bug, so I have my own biases. Anyway, I like gold a lot, and I encourage you to give these guys a call. Let me give you their number. It is 1-866-589-0560. Again, that's 1-866-589-0560. We'll put it in the show notes as well. LegacyPMInvestments.com is their website, but give them a ring. You're welcome to use my name. Again, they're good friends of mine. I know they'll take very good care of you. It's important right now for you to take care of yourself and to make sure that you're prepared for whatever is coming our way. Again, I believe we are in a recession. The question now is, how bad does it get? All right, let's turn to some fun stuff. Twitter, Elon Musk just driving everybody over at Twitter absolutely crazy. He had a meeting with employees today that he did over his cell phone, and he spoke to them as he promised he would. And let's just say, like, you know, they're not too psyched. They're not rolling out the red carpet for Elon anytime soon. And he said some stuff that caused them to get very, very worried. In fact, one of the things he said is, you know, he would err on the side of allowing outrageous tweets. He's okay with outrageous tweets. This is a company that has worked very, very hard to sort of control what's out there, if you would. And there are certain biases, shall we just say, that I think have been reflected in how they manage that quote unquote control. So now you get this guy coming out of outer space, shall we say. He did say he had never seen an alien, by the way. But anyway, he's coming in from, we're going to say outer space, Texas, right? I think for a lot of Twitter employees, Texas might as well be outer space. And he's suggesting things that would effectively turn the company on its head from everything that they've known. But I do believe one would be better for society, and two will ultimately be better for the company as well, right? Because he wants to grow it to 1 billion users. They've got roughly 229 million, I believe, per their last filing. That's if they're all legit users, right? Because don't forget, that's another wrinkle in all of this. As Elon Musk threatens to get out of the deal, as Elon Musk threatens to renegotiate the deal, I'll get to that in a second. But first, back to this meeting, one of the issues that came up was whether or not employees would be able to work from home. Don't forget what he said to Tesla employees, like, no way, no how. And if you have a problem with that, come see me directly. Well, he told the Twitter employees that it would be considered for really exceptional employees. So apparently they were all conversing with each other on Slack as this whole thing was going on. And they were like, oh, you know, what is an exceptional employee? And apparently sending memes. And there was a lot of sort of hazing and teasing about the presentation. But look, he's talking about rocking their world. And that's never fun, right? It's not fun for them. It's not fun for the establishment, but I think ultimately it could be incredibly healthy for our society. And that's one of the things he talked about Twitter being a company that can have a real impact on society in a very positive way. Don't forget, this is the guy that the left used to worship, right? He created effectively, single-handedly, the EV industry all by himself. Electric vehicles are because of Elon Musk. So they used to all drive Teslas until he became persona non grata and the alien from Texas. Speaking of aliens from Texas, one other thing that we didn't get to, but I think is important because we talk a lot about political implications of the overall economy, is that there's news today that we are seeing the highest rate of people being apprehended at our border than ever before. So the highest rate in history. And so whether it's very high inflation or very high numbers of people trying to cross into the country right now, I think it's all reflecting quite poorly on the administration. So the administration is trying to get a handle on it. I'm not quite sure how they do at this point in time. I think that ship has sailed. I think as a result, Joe Biden's chances are extraordinarily limited. They can't put him up. They can't put him up in 2024. How do they? Because he's tainted with the economic challenges that the country is facing. And even though he's trying to blame every Tom, Dick, and Harry all around the world and the big oil companies and this, that, and the other, Americans, they're not that political when it comes to their economic well-being, right? When you start paying $5 for gas, you're like, I don't care. Like, I don't care, Republican, Democrat, Independent. I just want somebody who's going to ensure that I can take care of my family. And so whether he likes it or not, whether the party likes it or not, they're getting really blamed for all of this. I mean, I would argue that they should be blamed only because they made some really irresponsible decisions. That said, the Fed should be blamed too. I mean, what the heck was Jerome thinking when he knew Congress was putting out $1.9 trillion in stimulus? Another stimulus check in the mail for everybody, the third one, in fact. So the Fed should have been smarter. The administration should have been smarter. Politicians should have been smarter. But they're going to pay the price. I suspect they're going to pay the price in a pretty epic way come November and again in 2024. Look, I hope that this is not going to be bad. I do think we're in a recession right now. Let's all say a prayer that it's a mild one. But we're in the beginning stage of some real problems. And I promise I'm going to be here every day with you. And we're going to continue talking about it and looking for ways to protect ourselves right now, because it will matter. You can also get more information on my website, trishintel.com. That's my website. And you can sign up for my newsletter there. Of course, I mentioned Locals earlier, trishregan.locals.com. And I really do hope you subscribe to this, you hit the bell, because we've got a lot to talk about over the coming weeks and days. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'll see you tomorrow.